go. Another edition of We Talk Fantasy Football with Mo, and I'm once again in the Palacio Silver Encrusted Studios of House Brecht. He's downgraded, I'm afraid. Brecht, how you doing?
I had to give up some of the gold so that I could get, so that I could buy more fantasy football leagues.
That's right. That's right. Let's go around the AFC South, Brecht, and start off with the Houston Texans. Why don't you talk about Houston, a very interesting fantasy team again this year?
Again, yeah, they're one of those teams. See, this might be, it's really close because this is one of those teams where almost everybody on offense could be a fantasy factor.
Well, this is one of those teams that in the actual NFL, every year seems almost could be an actual factor in the playoffs
and contending for
the title, and they never seem to quite get there. And that's reflected by their fantasy value.
Yeah. Matt Schaub is a fantastic fantasy quarterback. He's actually undervalued this year for some
odd
reason.
Yes, he is, yeah.
Because in previous years, he's generally come out to be a top five fantasy quarterback pretty consistently.
Their team just throws the ball up a lot. And, he has excellent. He has an excellent receiver and an excellent running back. And he's just it's like a... you always seen it many times. Like the Cowboys had the running back, the receiver, the quarterback. Houston, they're not quite as good, but that's that same basic concept. It makes a very, very difficult defense very difficult offense to defend.
Yeah, Arian Foster last year was an eye-opener. Now, you and I liked him a lot. We actually drafted him quite a bit.
I bet you we had him in 90% of our leagues, and in 90% we got him around 4 or 5.
Yeah,
so we had, for sure. And then the guy ended up first overall. And when we talk about how many championships we won last year, he's the reason why. We were consistently getting him and Vic late, and that was the difference between us and other teams.
People are concerned.
I'm not sure we're going to be able to repeat that this year for both of those two players.
Yeah, I doubt that.
It's been very hard.
Unless we can get two first round picks, then it's probably doubtful.
But this year has been a lot more difficult than to find that guy who's going to emerge. But there's still some value. But there is.
Arian Foster is dropping a little bit, I think, because of the potential hamstring to start out the season. I'm not terribly concerned about it. I think he's a really good talent. There's a lot of people who are. I just saw the headline of an NFL.com article that mentioned, Arian Foster and Michael Vick could be two of the biggest busts. And I think that's the same could be said about everybody. It's like, oh yes, Peyton Manning and Reggie Wayne could be two of the biggest busts too.
I don't know why it is people are more worried about Arian Foster than Chris Johnson when Chris Johnson doesn't play any preseason or anything like that. That's a guy who I'm more worried about being in the right type of shape or getting some sort of injury because he hasn't been playing at anything close to game speed. And all of a sudden you're into the NFL in regular season, as great a talent as he is. I'm more worried about him than I am about Arian Foster. Now, Arian Foster's big. He's a one cut big, sees the good vision, sees the line, the hole well, hits it, explodes, very consistent, always gets 4 or 5 yards. He's proven himself to be he's the prototypical NFL running back that nobody saw coming.
And when you talk about having a guy like Andre Johnson on the team,
yeah,
you know that he is never going to see stacked fronts.
No, not like a Chris Johnson or Adrian Peterson. That's the difference between him. I don't have him as the number one running back on the board, but I'm not worried about the hamstring. Last year he played through every injury, everything and. I guarantee there was times he was beat up then as well. They're just being cautious. It's a hamstring. He'll be fine.
Yeah. And Andre Johnson is the number one receiver in football and fantasy football.
Yeah, exactly. He is. He's the only receiver. I took him in the first round of a draft earlier today. Nobody else is nobody other wide receiver that I would consider that doing that. No, I took him 6th overall. And even then, that's a little higher than I would have liked to, but I was basically going, I'm not going to get him again. Then I did.
Yeah,
but
that's just luck and oddity of drafts because this year the drafts have been very odd.
They have been very odd.
Kevin Walter, on the other hand, is undraftable, which is crazy because he's a solid talent, and so is Jacoby Jones. But they just never. But they cancel each other out. Never seems to be enough value there to be worth playing.
Walter's had some really really good seasons, but the fact is, at the end of the day. He might have a 12-yard reception game and then might go 2 games without something. So you don't play a player like that when he's not you can play a player like that if he's a Mike Wallace or Deshaun Jackson where they can break a 70-yard TD. He can't, so you don't touch him.
Yeah. Owen Daniels is one of those upper echelon tight ends, provided he's over his injury problems. And he could provide great
really
value.
Late last year. I mean, it was really late. I mean, yeah. We waited all season. We drafted him going, oh, we're getting great value on this guy. Nobody wants to touch him because of an injury. And then he didn't produce. And then really late, he finally had some of that potential that we've seen from him. And he goes up and makes it. He's fearless again. In traffic, he's just awesome. Great hands, great body control. Again, he's a key player. I hope he gets back to where he was because you can absolutely steal him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, their defense is going to be really interesting. I think they're going to have some nice matchups. And now with Wade Phillips as their coordinator, I think that they
their
should
be. Their pass
rush
looks just awesome. Just fierce as hell.
They should be a much improved defense. In fact, probably way more improved than most people would anticipate.
Yeah, they come out of there not with a great matchup the first couple weeks. And I'm not necessarily saying draft them, but I am saying keep an eye on these guys.
They're going to be a matchup play this season, guaranteed.
And it's funny how their kicker, is somebody, when you talk about an offense like that, that's somebody, in Rackers that you absolutely, you would think you want, and yet I never think of drafting him.
I know, and he's a good kicker. When he was in the desert in Arizona, he was really good, and he was a top five fantasy guy.
And now, he's on an awesome offense.
He should be there, but we're not thinking about
it. He's just somebody who just kind of slips under the radar, and I never think about him. Maybe I'll just draft him in the next draft, just have him once.
Exactly.
But he's not somebody I'm, somebody, if you're high on him, good for you.
Yeah.
You're not going to, you can do worse.
All right, so now we're over to the Indianapolis Colts.
Question marks?
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks here.
We're gonna preface this. We're recording this September 4th. When we're recording this, and we're not sure. I'm not sure exactly when this one's gonna go up, but when we're recording this, we don't really know exactly what's going on with Peyton.
Yeah, as of recording, there's no Peyton Manning could be missing a game, could be missing a couple games, he could be missing no games whatsoever.
Yeah.
And obviously the Colts flow as Peyton Manning flows.
Absolutely.
Peyton Manning is arguably the best quarterback in the league, and he is definitely...
Pretty arguable right now.
Yeah.
Huh?
I mean, he is, but he is also amongst the most consistent.
I think the thing is, I don't know if I'll say he's the best quarterback. I do think he's the most valuable to his team, because when I saw Tom Brady go down, I saw his team still do fairly well without him. I mean, with Matt Cathell at that point, when you see Vic go down, you still see your team, the team with Cobb last year, were doing okay, and I think they'll be fine with whoever they have backing up this year. I mean, Drew Brees went down, they'd be in trouble in New Orleans, but I don't think anybody's as valuable as the Colts. I don't think the Colts have any idea how to play without him, because they haven't had to start thinking about playing without the guy since the early 1920s.
Yeah.
Like, he's just been so solid and so consistent and so healthy.
Another thing about it is the fact that his leadership, you cannot replace that leadership with any other quarterback. Like, Kerry Collins, if Kerry Collins has to play for them, they are screwed. Because A, Kerry Collins blows. And B, Kerry Collins does not have a concept of Peyton Manning's leadership.
Well, the thing about Peyton Manning is, I don't think there's any quarterback, and this includes Tom Brady or Brees or any of these other, even Aaron Rodgers won the Super Bowl last year, or Roethlisberger, who has one more Super Bowl ring than Peyton.
Yeah.
Any of these guys, I don't see anybody who steps up to the line, reads what the defense is doing, and commands his offense and his offensive line and his receivers to the level of Peyton Manning. He really is quarterback / offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
and that's what makes him so valuable. So again, I like the talent around him. In the receiving core, I think, is very, very good. The running core is a bit questionable. They've consistently had a good offensive line. I think they'll have that again this year. But the running game, you're not gonna jump on any of these guys. But the good thing is about Anadai is you are gonna get him late.
And he can absolutely give you good value for his position. He could score some touchdowns. He's probably not going to get 1,000 yards rushing. But the truth of the matter is that he's going to have some decent games out there.
Yeah, exactly. And when it comes to the receiving core, I mean, I think Reggie Wayne's slowing down some. There's still a very good, very talented, and not often healthy receiving core on that team. But
it's really up and down, because Reggie Wayne has lost, a couple steps at least. Pierre Garçon is a solid receiver, but he's not what I would call spectacular.
Yeah.
Austin Colley probably has the potential to be spectacular, but he's made of glass at this point. And until he turns that around, then he's still going to get drafted in the late rounds.
Yeah, Dallas Clark had one monster year. So everybody still kind of bases his value on that. And the truth is, that's the one, that 100-plus catch year. He's only done that once. If you really look at his career, he's really a 75-catch, 700, 800 yards, 8 TD guy. But he had this one crazy year, and everybody thinks that's who he is. He's not. He's the 75-catch guy, which doesn't mean he isn't a wide receiver or a tight end one. He's a top five guy.
Absolutely.
Just don't really – I think people overvalue what they expect from him.
Yeah, and if Peyton Manning misses time, then I think nobody hurts more than Dallas Clark. Yeah.
Nobody, I agree with that, absolutely. Nobody hurts more than Dallas Clark. And I think if Peyton Manning misses time, the quarterback you don't even consider in Collins,
nope.
I wouldn't consider him go, oh, well, he's going to put up, some people might think he's going to put up three quarters of Peyton's numbers. He's not.
Nope.
He's maybe 50%.
I basically look in Kitna.
Yeah, exactly. I basically look at them, and if Manning is out, I downgrade all their players' stats by about 30%.
At least, because, I mean, until Kerry Collins proves that he can run an NFL offense at 40 or whatever the hell he
38.
Is, 38, then forget it. I'm not interested.
Absolutely. Well, he's had some rough years. I mean, that's the thing. He's, you know, a couple of years ago he had a season where the Titans won all those games, but even then it's not like he was putting up numbers.
No, he's a game manager at best.
Yeah, at this point in his career he really is.
Yeah, their defense.
He's had some spectacular fantasy seasons.
Oh yeah, of course.
May not realize, but at this point, he's absolutely a game manager.
Their defense is solid, if unspectacular.
Yeah, a great matchup defense.
Yeah, workmanlike. You know, they can get some sacks. Yeah. No question about that.
Yeah.
And Adam Vinatieri is finally falling off that cliff of being the number one kicker.
Yeah, in fact, he's often not even drafted anymore, and that's that. You know what? He shouldn't be, because I think he's on a top 12 offense easily, top 5 maybe, with Peyton in there. But as a kicker, I'm not sure he's top 16 in the league anymore as far as his ability and his leg strength has really fallen right off. He can't kick from 50 yards, and his accuracy is not quite as strong as it once was. So
that's right.
Let's get on to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, there's not much to talk about here. I mean, David Garrard and Blaine Gabbert are both average at best. I mean, Garrard will hold the job for some of the season, more than likely.
He's been a solid NFL player and a solid enough fantasy player as a QB too.
Because he can run.
Yeah, exactly. I actually like Gabbert. As I think he has very good talent. I think he's going to become a very good NFL quarterback. But he's quite a ways away. MJD, my concern is about the injuries.
Oh, sure. I mean, he's been somewhat injury prone, and I just think that the rebuilt knee and stuff like that, I mean, is that going to hamper him this year?
Well, he says it isn't, but I don't trust what he says.
No, because you can never trust what a football player says about their own injury.
No. Football players, that's one way where football players and wrestlers are the same.
Yeah.
They're both workers when it comes to that. MJD, I really think, is a cool dude. I really like his... I think he's, he's great receptions, strong.
He's
his ability to break the ball and break like 70, 80 yards runs at one point was unparalleled in the league, but I don't trust it anymore. I mean, yeah, if he drops, the last pick in the first round and you're drafting, and he has been on occasion falling to
that.
Oh,
sure, absolutely.
I take him because he's too much upside, but he's not top five for me anymore. And, what do you think of his backup now?
Well, Deji Kareem, I think the biggest problem that I have about him is he's a scat back.
He's a scat back.
Yeah. So
I don't trust him to stay healthy for an entire season. And with Jennings gone for the year, I don't know what the hell's going on. Who is the number three? Do we even know?
No, I don't think they have one right now.
Yeah, at least not at the time of this recording.
I mean, maybe it'll be Greg Jones, but and maybe they'll probably pick somebody up off of waivers.
And like I said, we've seen these guys step out of nowhere and be good, and who knows, maybe somebody will be. But then again, this is also an offense where they can put eight in the box against whoever's running.
Yeah, easily.
And, I kind of think that wide receiver, I kind of like Mike Thomas as a wide receiver. I think he's actually a pretty good player. But again, You're not on a good offense. He's not spectacular.
He's definitely not spectacular. He's not going to be one of those guys that we're going to see. I don't think he has game-changing talent.
No, he doesn't.
And there's no question that Jason Hill is probably, on most teams, a wide receiver four.
Yeah, exactly.
For the most part. So
I kind of think, yeah, Mike Thomas really is a wide receiver two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I like Thomas, but you draft him as a wide receiver five in fantasy or, you know, high-end five maybe? Maybe.
Their defense, I don't even think their defense is going to be worth playing matchups.
Scobie's a very good kicker, but you're not drafting him, so.
Yeah, yeah. I mean he's Scobie's probably fine for matchups.
If the offense isn't moving the ball, you're not drafting the player,
nope.
Right?
Tennessee Titans,
and there's a team. You know, like I say, we talk about Chris Johnson's injury worries. You talk about, I think people think that Hasselbeck has probably got something left because his team made the playoffs last year and they knocked off the Saints. His team went 7-9 and made the playoffs in the
worst division in football.
Yeah, maybe the worst division in the history of football.
Yeah.
So they knocked off the Saints. But the truth is, the Saints just came in a little flat that day. And, Seattle is a good home team because they have the great home crowd. But I think Hasselbeck's shot. I think he's been shot for a couple of years. He can't throw it deep, and his best receiving threat is a deep threat. So I don't see how this is going to match up for Kenny Britt.
No, I like Hasselbeck, but the fact of the matter is that
I
expect to see Jake Locker in probably before the end of the season.
Yeah.
And I think, and obviously Jake Locker offers far more upside.
Yeah, and again, we're talking about Chris Johnson. We talked about his I worry about his health, and I worry about him staying healthy and that type of thing. He wasn't as good last year as he was the year before. I don't think he'll ever get back to those numbers personally.
I
think that was career year.
Yeah.
But he's, I mean, running back top five, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Number two, not for me.
He has all the talent in the world. And the number one question for me is
that...
You can
put 17 men in the box, though, against that,
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. The number one thing for me with Chris Johnson is that if I'm looking at a number one overall draft in a fantasy draft, which I'm never going to, but if I
was... No, because you're cursed to be number 10
yes.
or 12
or
12 whatever.
Or 14. But yeah. But no, but the truth is that if I'm looking at number one, I really don't think that I can draft Chris Johnson number one. I also don't think I can draft Adrian Peterson, and I don't think that I can draft Arian Foster at that point. It's a big bottle of questions.
No, well, maybe... In the next show, we'll get to the guy I might draft number one in that position. Not in this show, but in the next one.
That's right. And then as far as their receiving core, I mean, Kenny Britt has a high knucklehead factor, but he's also got high talent level.
Yeah. Like I say, I think it's more about his quarterback being suited to get him the ball.
It's absolutely going to come down to whether or not Matt Hasselbeck can get him there.
I don't draft. If you're drafting Chris Johnson, I think you have to draft Ringer. I think you have to.
Yeah, I think it's probably a great choice.
Yeah. And, their defense,
they're probably going to be solid, but I doubt they're going to put up many fantasy points. They don't strike me as a
really,
fantasy
I'm
defense.
Really confused. I think I'm a little bit confused about how good is the coaching on this team going to be. Because it's been so many years of the same head coach, and now they've made a change. So I kind of wonder how that's going to affect the defense. Same thing with Baronis. Baronis might be good because the team might move the ball a little bit and then not score. And he has a leg that can kick it. He can kick it. He could probably kick it still from Houston into the goalposts. And he's got that hell of a leg. Strong, accurate leg. But I wouldn't draft him.
No. All right. Let's move over to the NFC South.
There's a kicker I'll draft.
Yeah, Matt Bryant.
Actually,
absolutely.
I'm not sure Matt Bryant is my number one kicker.
He plays on a great team. And they're going to get lots of scoring chances, whether it's field goals or whether it's converts.
Let's talk about the most important thing about this team is the philosophy change in offense. So talk about that, Brett.
Well, I think that they've said, and they've certainly shown it so far in the preseason, that they're going to open up the offense and let Matt Ryan take way more shots and throw the ball. Because, I mean, what did he throw the ball for? 44 times?
In a half.
And, I mean, that's if your quarterback is throwing 44 times and a half, then the rest of your team is going to wind up with good fantasy potential.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. That's why Jones is Julio Jones is somebody who is a great value, late pickup, upside guy because he's talented on a team that's throwing it up. That's why Tony G, who doesn't have much left, I don't think, in the tank, but being on a team throwing it that much. Might be late upside value if somebody wants to grab him.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Turner was actually pretty good last year. He's pretty average player at this point. He's I guess, like a low-end RB1, high-end RB2. But, you know, I mean, he's good for TDs. That's the thing that he's really good for. And he'll still get that in the red zone. But, yeah, I mean, Matt Ryan, Roddy White. Matt Ryan is the unknown factor. Could he be a top 5 guy, or is he going to stay to being a top 12 like he always has been? And Roddy White, we know, is top 5.
If Matt Ryan throws the ball 50 times a game, then he stands a very good chance of being top 5.
Now, the other question, though, is are they going to continue with this philosophy? This team won, 12, 13 games, something like that last year. They were, you know, a terrific team. I can't remember 11 games. I don't remember exactly what they won, but they were my preseason pick to go to the Super Bowl, and they had a great season.
They were very close, no question.
They were very close. And considering you are winning with a running-based game, and that's always the way Mike Smith seems to have leaned towards, I wonder if this philosophy is going to stay. I wonder if they're going to go with it. But I think they have the talent, and who knows, they might.
I think that it really all comes – I think the linchpin in this case is Julio Jones. If Julio Jones plays as advertised, I think they will continue to open up the passing game, and that should make Matt Ryan easily top 10, if not top 5.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit, though, about the defense, because, I mean, I think – if you're on a team that is this is a team that's been pretty good, not great, but good fantasy defense for a while. Their return game isn't nothing to talk about, but they've always been solid defensively and gotten some turnovers. This theoretically could kill them if their offense is throwing the ball off the field quicker and forcing other teams to throw on them. It could be really, really hard on the defense. On the other hand, it could cause a ton of turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love their secondary. But I think they've got a pretty solid front seven.
Yeah, they do.
So I think that if their front seven plays really well and keeps some of the pressure off the secondary, then they should be, a solid defense. I'm not sure if they're going to be a good fantasy defense, but I think they'll be a solid defense.
Yeah, I like Sean Witherspoon. I think he's actually one of the more underrated linebackers in the NFL. So.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they play out, but they should be very much in that Super Bowl mindset.
That's the thing. They're a team that I'm looking at and going, okay, last year I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. They're definitely a team that needs to be in that conversation again this year.
All right. Here's a team that is not in that conversation whatsoever. The Carolina
Not this
Panthers.
Year, not next year, not even the year after that, I don't believe.
No, they're at least 5 years away.
Could be 500.
500, yeah, absolutely. Again, where do you start? I mean, you start number one, Cam Newton. He's going to be a great running quarterback.
Which gives fantasy value.
Which does give fantasy value, but I would not touch him with a 10-foot pole because I just don't know.
Well, he's a project.
Yeah, I just don't.
He's not, I understand why they picked him first overall. And obviously when you look at, the quarterback, Jimmy Clausen and Derek Anderson, you don't have anything of any, these guys blow donkey balls, I just kind of look at it and I'm going, Cam Newton, what? Like, he's not NFL ready. He's the type of quarterback the Raiders would have picked.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah. And again,
he might not have the kind knucklehead factor, but he's that project.
Yeah, and they're throwing him into the fire, which could be good or it could be bad. I don't know.
It's generally bad. I generally believe that Aaron Rodgers is a great example. It doesn't always turn out this way, but Aaron Rodgers is a great example of somebody who sat on the bench for a while. Learn the game and look how great he is now.
Whereas on the other side of the coin, Alex Smith is the guy who got played immediately, and he still sucks.
Yeah, he does.
Now, their running backs are both very good, and it's a shame that D'Angelo...
He doesn't suck on the level of Jim Clausen, though.
Nope. Yeah. Like, I wish D'Angelo Williams had found a new home, because it would have given...
I thought for sure he was. Yeah. I can't understand. I know they offered him a bunch of money.
And they did.
And they actually have a really fairly quite... one of the top, in the top third, for sure, offensive lines.
Yeah.
They have a really good offensive line. That's what's really frightening.
Yeah, it's
But, I mean,
true.
I would have thought he would have gone, man, I don't want to get killed against 27 men in the box every game. And, you know.
Because you can. You can guaranteed do that. Because nobody's afraid of their receiving game.
Yeah.
You know, I like D'Angelo Williams. He's worth drafting. I like Jonathan Stewart. He's worth drafting as well. Do I think that they can cancel each other out? I absolutely do.
And even the receivers. I mean, Steve Smith is somebody, he's a competitor.
Steve Smith has more talent in his little body than the vast majority of people do in the league. But the problem is that Cam Newton and their offense is going to hold him back so much that he's going to have almost no chance of
and
fantasy
one of the
value.
Biggest problems he has is I actually kind of like some of the receivers that he has behind him as far as their physical ability, but they're also all projects. LaFell is a project. Edwards is a project. He was a quarterback coming out of college. You know, he's in his second year receiver. Nanny is a project. They're full of project players at wide receiver. That's no good for a Steve Smith. He's going to see double and triple coverage, and because he's the only guy they're going to be getting to. He can't quite stay healthy. He has lost a step. I wish better for him than to being on this team as well.
Their defense is so bad. That's it. That's the end of it.
Yeah, and let's just say Jonathan Stewart value if Williams goes down. Otherwise, maybe a guy who'll get some goal line carries and a guy who has more talent than ability than playing time.
Well, the thing is that with their running backs, they're going to run the hell out of them because they're not going to pass.
No.
But and then their kicker, Olindo Mare, good luck to you if you pick him.
This team needs to run a wildcat constantly.
Yeah, they pretty much need help. They need too much help.
New Orleans, though, this team does not need help. This team is a talk about your Super Bowl contenders. This team is I think going to be better than they were last year. Last year they weren't bad.
Yeah, loaded again.
They're loaded again.
Yeah, I mean, this team goes as Drew Brees goes. I think Chase Daniel is showing some stuff this year, but the fact is that Drew Brees is the man.
Yeah, well, Chase Daniel, I mean, he's going to probably, Drew Brees, they're looking to, I don't know if they've actually finalized it. He's about to sign.
They're very close.
Yeah, about to finalize the signing of a new contract. He's going to be there for a while. He's not that old. People are going to say Aaron Rodgers is the best QB in the league, and he deserves it. He won the Super Bowl last year. For my money, it's still Drew Brees.
Drew Brees has just been spectacular for that team ever since he signed.
Yeah, and it's his leadership as well as – and he's a good guy in the community. He's the type of person that and you're lucky to have him.
Yeah.
New Orleans, the city of New Orleans, I'm glad they have him because they certainly needed him.
For sure.
At that point in their city's history. He's excellent. He has a deep – receiving core with some question marks.
It's a deep, but deep confusing.
Talent. Exactly. It's talented and it's deep as far as physical ability, but it's a bit strange. You don't know who to trust.
Because Brees is one of those spread the wealth quarterbacks.
Absolutely.
He never keys on anybody. And I think when you look at Marcus Colson, he's a question mark because he's shot his knees so many times. Devery Henderson is a deep threat at best.
Yeah.
Lance Moore is a good, solid talent. But he's a good, solid talent. He's not.
Yeah, he's a Brendan Stokely type. He's
over the line.
No, he's just a slot receiver. Right?
Whereas Robert Meacham is one of those guys who is
size, you know, speed, all of it, and yet he's never really put it together.
Yeah,
he has the greatest physical ability on the group.
If he can put it together, then he could be the number one receiver that they really, really, really want.
Yeah, absolutely. He's the guy with the most potential. But and then of course their tight ends also have receiving potential in Jimmy Graham. I mean, everybody's raving about his physical ability.
Yeah, he looks like he could be the one of the key tight ends this year.
And then you have an RB running back by committee, RBC.
Wow,
what is it?
Big
RBCC? Time. CCT.
CCT. You know, in this case, I mean Pierre Thomas, Darren Sproles, Mark Ingram. You know, I mean, they drafted Ingram first in the first round, so I expect him to get a lot of carries. But you can't cut Pierre Thomas out unless he gets injured, which is easily possible.
Because Pierre Thomas is a pretty solid player and kind of suits their offense and knows it. And the players like him on the team, and then you got Sproles to play the Reggie Bush role, except for he's healthier and again, there's players there. You want them? Sure. You want them for two reasons. Number one, because they play on a good offense, so they could have value from that perspective. And number two, they if there's an injury, they could emerge as a guy who becomes a stud. But on the other hand, you're not going to draft any of them high. Ingram typically goes higher than Thomas. I understand that because by the end of the year, you can expect them to be probably getting more carries. But at the beginning part of the year, Thomas is going to see the ball more than Ingram.
And Ingram is a rookie, and I'll never trust a rookie.
Nope. So this is a strange team. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Patriots. Build it around that quarterback. He's awesome. And then a lot of guys that you want, but you don't chase because you can't trust them.
And their defense, ever since Williams took over on the defense, their defense has been way better.
Yeah.
And the defense is one of those keys that they can stay in games, because their offense is going to score a lot of points, but their defense is healthy enough to keep the other teams from scoring against them.
And then John Casey is going to be their kicker their early part of the season. He's going to be money from inside the 45, and he's going to get a lot of opportunities, but he's only going to be good from inside the 45. So if you have a league that has bonuses for length of kicking, you don't want him. But, I mean, if you're in a standard league, he's going to be a solid guy to keep you. Just one of those guys, again, you play and you don't worry about.
And if you're holding on to Garrett Hartley, then what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, don't do that.
That's a kicker.
Don't do that. Let's go to, again, one of the intriguing up-and-coming teams. This is a very solid division. I'm not so sure this hasn't surpassed the NFC East for so long, was seen as the deepest division in the NFC.
Oh, it could. But
I really do think that this team, outside of the Carolina, I mean, these are three really good teams.
Yeah, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I mean, for sure. Yeah, if we didn't have Carolina in this, then I would be looking at this as that top division.
Wow, their coaching. I love their coaching, right?
Yeah,
Morris is just excellent.
Yeah, Josh Freeman is one of those really interesting quarterbacks, because he's got the legs and he's got the ability to throw. And so he can give you those fantasy points in the two ways.
Yeah. One of the things, I mean, I think, Brett, you mentioned that you think he might have stepped back a little bit this year, and he might, because he had so much success so early. The thing about him that I like is bloody consistent. I mean, not a lot of like 40-point games, but a lot of, you know, like 12, 16, 18 points. Very, very consistent. And that's what I like about him. You talk about his ability to throw and his ability to run. I like the fact that he's a very, very calm, very, very steady personality. Somebody who doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. He seems like a solid individual, and I think that serves them well.
For sure. If Mike Williams doesn't take a step back as well, then he looked great as a rookie.
He looked awesome.
And I think he can look just, I mean, he can.
And I think Ben has talent too. He's just a little bit more of a project.
Yeah, I mean, the sky is the limit for that receiving corps.
Yeah.
Because between Josh Freeman, Mike Williams, and Aurelius Ben, you're talking about young, young, young.
And Kellen Winslow is a guy that you're not a lot of upside, but a solid tight end, one that you're going to get late. And is a safety valve, great safety valve for Freeman, and he looks like he's gotten past his injury woes.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about him this preseason, which is a good.
And then again, their running game, Blount, really emerged last year as a really solid. His name is apt, because he's just he's a physical, you know, runner who almost doesn't know that he's not supposed to be as good as he is.
Yeah, he kind of came right out of nowhere in that regard, but the fact is that he became a really valuable role player down there.
So look at him as a running back, too. I mean, he's not a receiving threat, but he'll get touchdowns, he'll get solid yards. RB2, probably a mid-range RB2, I would lay him in there as just below a Peyton Hillis, that type of deal.
Yep.
So
their defense has the potential to be good. I mean, it's pretty well coached. They've got some talented players on there. They got some, again, very young guys. Like, the fact that this team can be this good and this young at the same time is pretty scary.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I say, this team is a team that, I don't know if it's this year, but they're going to be in the NFC title picture pretty damn soon.
Yeah, I would think so. And then Connor Barth is actually a pretty solid kicker. Like,
and a guy nobody thinks about.
Yeah, you never think of him, but I don't think
he's that bad. But he's a good guy, yeah. They were, like I say, just a very solid team. They don't blow you away. You don't think of them and think, oh, man. They don't have that Houston feel of, oh, man, look at all those Dallas, all those stud players and this and that, and there's so much potential. But the truth is, they're probably not that far off.
No, and you know, really, I would probably rather have a lot more of their players than some of these high upside or supposedly like high name guys, because I just don't think some of those big name guys like Reggie Wayne. I would probably rather have Mike Williams than Reggie Wayne.
Me too. All right, I think that's about it. We're OUT on this one. Let's bounce. Anything last you have to say here, Brett?
Well, you know, check us out on Twitter, Brett_WeTalk, Mo_WeTalk, Brett@WeTalkPodcast.com, Mo@WeTalkPodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you and we'll beat you.